Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's that time of the week again. The Rugby League rant, fifth and last. Put on your headgear, chuck in your mouth guard, and get ready for an hour of nothing but NRL talk. All right, and welcome to round 20 of the fifth and last NRL podcast. We're going to kick off the Fast Five, and we've got a very special guest. We've replaced Louis with the big man, MG. How are you, champion?
Big shoes to fill, Shep, but I'm up for the job, brother.
You love it? All right, we're going to shoot into the Fast Five, highlight, low light, best, worst, and a question coming out of the round. Mate, what was your highlight?
Hard to pick. I must confess, it was probably the best round so far of performances throughout the Origin period, I suppose, because we're nearing the end of it and the Origin games are gone and done and dusted. So I thought the footy was up a gear. Titans were a highlight. Sharks, 14 in a row, definite highlight. I suppose individual performances, Gutherson for Parramatta was great. Yeah. Cody Walker for South. Josh Mansell in the second half last weekend was great as well. And Ben Barber last night as well.
Hasn't he come on this year? Incredible. I thought he was gone last year, and look at the way that he's come through. Probably credit to Shane Flanagan, the job he's done on Barber, because there were plenty of people thinking that, you know, he was going to move him aside, or that, you know, the easy option probably would have been to play Holmes at fullback or Jack Bird at fullback, but he stuck with Barber, and Barber's repaying him big time.
100%, and I think because them two blokes you just mentioned, Jack Bird and Valentine Holmes, I think that's what's bringing the best out in Ben Barber. He's got
good point.
He's got these young kids who he's feeding the ball to. Thecky on the other wing as well. And I think for the first time in his career, he's accepted the responsibility of being a senior player. And gee, it's back to his best form when he won the Dalian medal. He's really playing well. But I think if I had to go for the highlight, individual highlight of the week was Jake Trbojevic from Manly. Couple of tackles he did on the big New Zealand Warriors wingers were just copybook around the legs, around the thighs, and cut him down like a tree. And the last charge down that led to the left foot field goal from Cherry Evans, I think, shows how desperate that kid is. He's destined to, along with his brother, to play Origin. And for mine, that was the highlight of the week.
Well, you talk about Origin plays, and the types of plays that he's pulling off at such a young age are incredible. My highlight, I had the Wild West, so I thought the game in Perth was outstanding and the game at Penrith. So I couldn't split those two. I thought they were clearly the best two games of the weekend. We'll move on to the low light. Mine was performance of the Dragons. I don't know where they go from there. The management of the club's pretty poor. They're struggling. The kicking game in particular the other night was awful, I thought.
Yeah, they can't score a point. I thought they were for a bit of a chance, especially, you know, playing...
Well, traditionally, the Titans struggle in Sydney. I gave the Dragons a massive chance just because we don't travel real well.
Yeah. There was a turning point, I suppose, of the game. Every game has a turning point. I think McCrone kicking out on the floor in the first couple of sets. Yeah. Basically...
What was the first set? First set of the game?
First set of the game. The Dragons didn't set the ball for another 12 minutes.
No, they didn't.
Mate, my highlights, the Eels saga, just keeps on dragging and dragging on. Bad for the game. Yeah. One minute we hear that it's all resolved and, you know, Parramatta are back playing with points, and next minute we hear that the five members of the board want to stay in execution to try and, you know, fight it. And, well, you just got to get on with the game.
Absolutely.
You know, we don't want the government involved in this. Like, if this, you know, whatever's good for the game, let's do that. And I think at the moment the best thing is for the five blokes who were involved just to walk away and let Parramatta get back to doing what they do best.
Yes, selfishness has crippled that club for years and years, as long as I can remember, that's for sure. Look, the best of the round, well, you've just rattled off. I had Jake Trbojevic, Josh Mansell and Clint Gutherson as my three. And my best side, seriously, I had them written down, and my best side of the week was the Titans. I thought the Titans were fantastic. I was really, really impressed with that performance. And I thought last night, to be fair, I thought the young kid that came in played in the halves for the Roosters. Yeah. He added some ups and downs, but I thought he went all right. And Mitchell Pearce. Yeah, Connor Watson. I thought him and Pearce did a fairly good job. And they're playing okay, the Roosters. They're having one of those years where they're losing all the tight games. You know, you give them 4 or 5 of those 6-point losses and spin them the other way, and they're in the 8. So I'm not going to overreact to the Roosters too much. And they've obviously had injuries and the off-field stuff going on there. But my worst was McFadden keeping Lola here on the bench. I know I flicked you a text during the game thinking, what is he thinking? And he didn't get on the field until Golden Point.
Well, we'll get to that because it's... My question of the round involves that type of...
Okay. So what was your worst of the round?
Pardon?
Your worst was the Eels.
My worst was Souths and Dragons. My low was the Eels. My worst was Souths and the Dragons. Yeah. Souths, to me, just a shadow of their former self. They can't seem to... obviously, 8-6 at half-time, I thought, they might be able to do a chance here. They're playing at home. Brisbane have come off a pretty big campaign of Origin, but they didn't even look like they were in the game at all, except for Cody Walker.
Mm. Hasn't he? He's improved out of sight.
Oh, he's a great player. I love watching him play. My best of the round was, look, I'll give an honourable mention to the Knights because they showed a lot of other fancier teams how to almost grit out an unbelievable win.
Yep.
But I really think, since saying that, Craig Bellamy, what a coach. Any other coach would have rested, Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk, but he felt something in the wind, did Bellamy. So he played his two stars, and lucky he did, because if they didn't play, they lose.
Absolutely.
Mainly my team of the round, they did just enough to stay in the race for the 8, and it makes it more exciting with a fit Manly coming home with a wet sail.
It does. All right, question. My question was, who do you think will be the bottom two sides? So, for me, I've got the top 6 locked in at the moment, but the bottom two sides, do you think, for me, like my heart says the Titans can get there, my head says that they'll probably fall away. For me, if I had to pick two right now, gun to the head, I'd say Penrith and the Warriors.
Bottom
two of the 8. Sorry, mate. Yeah, bottom two of the 8.
I look at the draw. Titans have got a very hard draw.
They do.
I think Penrith will definitely be one of the bottom two, 7th or 8th spot. Maybe the Tigers might slip in there, maybe Manly.
Yeah.
But look, on paper, if you look at the draws in front of them, you've got to say that the Warriors and Panthers are going to fill 7th and 8th spot, respectively.
All right, your question?
What's going on with Andrew McFadden and Lola here? I mean, that's like having with wet conditions and it's not conducive to, that fancy footwork and stuff. You've got to have your best players on at any terrain. It's like having a Porsche locked in the garage and taking the VW. It's just unbelievable. I don't know. There must be something personal going on because They're going to lose Oliver. He's going to go to another club.
He'll
go to another club and be a superstar.
Well, Lara Pitt reported that last night, saying that the manager apparently had 5 phone calls by the end of that game, sounding him out,
wow,
saying whether he would want to move.
Where would you see him go?
The Titans, for me, are the obvious one because, they're moving on William Zillman. They're struggling for a fullback option. Neil Henry doesn't really seem to think that David Mead's the fullback, and whereas I love Mead there, I'd play Mead there, but he looks like one. I mean, well, Parramatta have let Gordon go, but I guess that's to make room for Bevan French.
Yeah.
A team like the Knights wouldn't do without him. I mean, you've obviously got Gagai at fullback, but you could play Lola here in the centres or on the wing. It wouldn't matter.
You've got to have him.
Or at 5'8". That's...
For me...
Coming out of that game and coming out of a lot of games this year as a coach, I can't understand why you carry an outside back on the bench. Because for me, the worst thing... I didn't play a lot of footy on the bench growing up and coming through the grades. Most of it was, as an edge back rower. And in those days, that we didn't really traditionally come off the field. But there was nothing worse. The longer you sat on the bench, the more you stewed and the more you chewed. And I'm a firm believer, even in that, if the player, you're not confident in the player, even in your heart of hearts, if you're not confident in the player, you've got to put them on the field. The longer you keep them off, the more in question becomes your faith in them, in my opinion. So,
I'm having with that belief. I think in Origin 2, we heard with our interchange. I think our interchange all through the Origin series
was terrible.
Had a lot to be desired. And I think we could have used Jack Bird a lot better. And same goes with Penrith. Zach Hardacre on the bench.
Well, he didn't play, did he? He didn't get on.
He didn't get on. Yeah. No, he didn't get on. I mean, that's I feel for him. I know you got. We spoke about this a month or two ago about teams probably not wanting to put actually four blokes on the bench, probably happy with just a 2 minute rotation on the bench.
I remember saying that to you. You could almost do that with the eight. You could just roll over and just play with 16. I mean, you obviously can't do that, but they might as well have. It's done more damage to Zach Hardacre than good. That's for sure.
Well, he's confident to be shot. I think if you're going to spend all that money, I'm not sure how much they spent it, but it was just a clean swap with Seguiaro,
and
he just takes up his contract. I don't know how it works, but you think if you're going to bring this bloke out from England and you're going to give him a couple of goes in the wing and a little bit of go in the centre and pullback. I think he'd be a first grade winger. I think at Penrith they've got a bit of an embarrassment of riches at the moment with the way Moylan played in Origin at 5'8", especially his attacking prowess. He's just got subtle hands. And I felt a bit for Bryce Cartwright in the first half the other night against Parramatta, but they come home beautifully in the second half. But I still don't think Bryce is a 5'8 at first grade level.
No, he's not.
He's a stop gap. A 5'8, because he's basically a future Origin player, so you can put him anywhere you want. He's not going to let you down.
You just nailed it. He should play Hardacre at 1, Moylan at 6, and move Cartwright back to the edge. It just makes sense to me. I'm struggling with it as well, but Penrith got away with it. But mate, if they dropped that game, that would have been a real tough one to come back from. Especially, and down 14-0, they deserve some credit, the Panthers. I thought they were a really tough second half, and the Eels certainly didn't give up the ghost. But we'll quickly run through these games.
Before we get to that, what would have being a coach? What would Cook Griffin have said to Penrith at half time? Because that first 15 minutes in the second half, they come out looking like they'd done 4,000 push-ups and 4,000 sit-ups, and just went, come on, let's go.
Pretty pumped up.
They had a rocket right up, didn't they?
Yeah, look, for me, at half-time, I wouldn't have been panicking too much. I think Parramatta had the majority of the possession. They had a couple of lucky tries. I thought, at half-time, I sent a mate of mine, a Penrith fan, sent me a message panicking. I thought, well, to be fair, I thought Parramatta had all the 50-50 calls in that first half. So, I mean, you've got to have faith that that's going to swing. And you can't go in there and show a lack of composure, because that crosses over to your players. And I think if there's any man in the game who shows a lack of emotion apart from Wayne Bennett, it probably is Griffin. And I think he's just got a really good temperament for a young side. He's an old head. He's calm. He would have said, look, let's just get back to, the old cliche in completing your sets. I don't think completing their sets was the issue. I think they just needed to stick to what they were doing. And they kept playing that open style of football. I think a lot of young sides will freeze. When they go down 14-0, they'll go away from that open style. So I would have just encouraged them to keep playing their natural game. And eventually things will turn for you, And they made a couple of key plays.
What about the rest of players, who come back from Origin, the two in particular with Mansour and Moore in that second half were instrumental in getting the Panthers back into it. And Mansour in particular, he's basically said to himself, I was that close to being on the other side of the spectrum with that bomb with Charlie he let down. Darius Boyd comes through and scored, and all of a sudden they win the game. I think that's a bit of a turning point for Josh Mansour. I think that was a defining moment. I believe a lot in karma, and I reckon he's one of the best wingers we've seen in the last 10 years. I think that would have been a shocking hit to his confidence if they'd gotten been beaten by the Queenslanders, and he would have carried that onto his club footy as well, and I think he would have been a shadow of himself. But conversely, he comes out in the second half and says, well, give it to me, and his stats are off the charts.
That's as good as a performance from a winger I've seen in 10 years. That was unbelievable second half. I know he threw the ball away in that last second, but to me, that's Penrith. That's who Penrith are. They're a side that's...
Griffin reminds me a lot of John Ling. I don't know the similarities there between the two. They both seem to be old school. Both seem to get the point across to... The players love them. And that's the most important thing as a coach. I think that the players, you've got to get them to buy into all your systems. And I think at Penrith at the moment, they've got a coach who they really, really, really like as a bloke. And that helps.
And that's a buzzword. I honestly don't think he has a system. I think he's very disciplined. He's very, as you say, the players like him. He's hard on them. But I look at their side and I go, they tend to play through the middle in numbers, in yardage. They've got a very young half there who's got a really good kicking game in Nathan Cleary. And then when they get down the other end, they let the ball fly. I love their style. And I think there should be more of it. And I think there's teams below them that could adapt that style and be further up the ladder. They just try and play that cookie cutter type of game, and it's not working.
Big time. Two teams straight off that I can think of straight away: Dragons and Souths. So yeah. Their structures are just boring. And the Dragons, for mine, I know we're going to talk about the games in a sec.
Yep.
The Dragons, for mine, take Tyson Brazil out of that team. I don't want to watch him.
He's been outstanding. Wow. I really didn't agree with him going in Origin 2. I thought, they could have looked elsewhere based on his club form, but he was unbelievable in Origin 2 and Origin 3, and his club form since then has gone through the roof. So maybe his confidence took a little bit of a dip because he wasn't picked for Game 1. And once he got that opportunity, he's kicked that door in. He's going to be a long-term Origin player for sure, but... we'll move on to the Titans-Dragons game. Look, for me, the glaring aspects of this, the Dragons' attack, obviously, it's been well highlighted and documented throughout the season, but for me, the difference, the composure. The Titans were composed, they kicked well, they got repeat sets. I know they completed well, but they played an open style of footy. They like to attack you, and, obviously when the things didn't go their way, they managed to get repeat sets and build pressure. But where did the Dragons go? They were terrible.
Well, for some reason, they're still in the hunt. They're 20 points with the Titans, Warriors and Panthers. So, mathematically, not even mathematically, they're in the hunt. And they've got a pretty reasonable draw home, run home. So they've got I suppose Dugan's pivotal to that. Benji Marshall as well as a link man. But they've got the second worst points differential in the competition outside of the Knights. So they've really got to address their defence. And they've got to address their attack, which is basically non-existent. The 32-12 against probably the most improved team in the competition, I think 80% of rugby league fans and experts, or so-called experts, had the Titans finishing at the bottom of the table. And they've blown some big teams away and some big predictions away too, because they've just... I really think that Neil Henry's going to take a pat in the back. I think... the way he's brought these young halves through, the way he's introduced these young forwards into the pack as well. He's told blokes that, see you later, we don't want you anymore. He's kind of forthright. And I think everyone knows where they stand that in the Titans. They've got a couple of board members that are pretty well known, who are held in high regard in Graham Annesley. And there's just going to be a club on the up. If they can get a player like Lola here or someone and take him to that next level, wow, look out, watch these guys in the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, also, on the back of, they obviously lost Cherry Evans, who was signed there, and then they lost James Roberts in January. To do what they're doing now with, a sticky tape side, basically, you're spot on. Henry deserves massive raps, and, I really, really hope they can... I think they're both on 20 points now, the Titans and the Dragons. So realistically, they're going to win 4 out of the last 7. So if the Titans can jag an upset, as you said, against one of those bigger sides or the top sides, they're going to be a chance. But for me, as you said, looking at the Dragons' draw, they look the more likely if we're just looking at the draw. But there's a lot of twists and turns to happen between now and then. But Manly and the Warriors over there in the... the old mud bath. Last time it was like that. Johnny Lang did the big slide after a South victory over there.
That was the same game when young Yao Yee done his ankle.
It was. Yeah. I thought the Warriors were dominant, but I thought Manly were tougher. Warriors dominated possession, field position. They looked the more likely, but Manly were tough. And as you said before, led by Jake Trbojevic, I thought he was outstanding. They hung in, managed to get the golden point and capitalised.
Well, Cherry Evans seems to be coming into his own as well. I like him, and I like Lyon at 5'8". I think that's...
Yeah.
I think that was a long time coming. You need a bit of stability at 5'8". And while Dylan Walker's, an Origin player, he's a centre or a winger or a fullback. He's just got speed to burn. And I agree 100%. Manly was just so desperate, and they wanted that win more than Warriors, and that's the story of the Warriors' life. Warriors are... Origin boys who seem to pick on the big teams when they've got their Origin players out, when they usually have none, only usually Lillerman, but this time they'll beat their own game by a team that was more desperate. And Manly, I haven't really checked out their draw, but sitting, I suppose, on 16 points in 12th spot, they've got to win every game from now. But that game against the Warriors, it keeps them in the hunt. So
it's
even better to watch now.
Look, I've put a pen through Manly, but you know they've had their issues. I think the Dylan Walker call, Trent Barrett was too stubborn in that regard. He should have made a call earlier on that. But look, I don't think they can make the eight, but more so not because of Walker, more because of the injuries and the other stuff they've had going on there. The Broncos and South Sydney, look, I thought the Broncos were bound to turn the tables now that Origin's over. They weren't great, Brisbane, but I saw a little bit out of Ben Hunt that I haven't seen for probably a couple of months, same as Anthony Milford. They improved. South, to me, I don't know how to really compare this win for Brisbane, because I think South were just rubbish.
I wouldn't get too carried away if I was Wayne Bennett, because I think you spoke about Josh Mansell. What about big Corey Oates on that wing? Hasn't he come along? And again, it's the Origin flowing. It's these guys who are coming back to their club sides from the Origin experience. You're ten foot tall and bulletproof after you've gone through the toughest footy you can play. You come back to the club arena and everything seems to be a little bit slower and a little bit easier. So, I don't know if the Brisbane Broncos have got the forwards to win the comp. I know that, you know, everyone at club seems to have a lot bigger pack. Although they've got these young guys coming on, often Gary being one of them, who adds a bit of starch. But, the jury's still out. They sit in sixth spot. I'm with you, what you said earlier. I think that's the top six. I think Brisbane will finish either fifth or sixth, depending on the draw. But I think once they're there, who knows? Any team which Wayne Bennett coaches has got to be in the running for anything because of just his tactics and his presence. So that was a much-needed win. I think Brisbane last year in the Origin period went 6 from 6. This year they went 1 from 6, and that's been the telling point.
Absolutely. They've got Penrith this week, so that'll be interesting on the back of that.
Massive game on Friday night.
It's going to be a cracker. So Melbourne, they had a close victory over the Newcastle. They, you know, only put it away late. You know, a lot of people are saying it was a low game. I quite enjoyed it for the fact that Newcastle competed. I like the fact that Newcastle, again, you know, we're talking about the cookie cutter sort of styles that teams are playing. Newcastle are playing to their strengths. I know they don't have a lot, but they're trying different things. You know, there was a point in time there where they're probably trying things to the point where it looks ridiculous. I know there was a chip and chase on the third tackle inside their own 40 that looked dumb, you know, but if you're going to allow them to sort of spread their wings, you're going to get those dumb plays every now and then. Look, the Storm, as you said before, Smith and Cronk, if they didn't play, the Knights would have won. The Knights are a bogey team for Melbourne. Melbourne struggled to beat them down in Melbourne earlier in the year, but look, they still didn't have to win Melbourne. And poor old Newcastle, a lot of effort for little reward at the moment.
Yeah, I like the fact that Nathan Brown's experimenting, putting Sonny Mataudia in the centre, in the second row.
Didn't he go well?
I think he was their best player.
Yeah.
I think he was shot by Cardigan Bay, the old trotter, but more struggling than Cardigan Bay. But yeah, they're one of the teams that I don't mind watching. There's a lot more. There's four or five other teams that I'd rather not watch than the Knights. I know the Knights, every time I watch them, they're trying their hardest. And full credit to Nathan Brown, because he's experimenting. They haven't got the cattle, but you know they're a team to watch in the next couple of years. I know that they're going to be they get someone like a Greg Bird to their club or someone like that. They're usually still do two or three years of good hard footy in his system to try and filter that through the young blokes, and I think that could be a good acquisition, someone like him. But I think as long as Nathan Brown keeps chipping away and showing that he is having a dig, I think he's going to attract a couple of good players.
Yeah, I think he's doing a good job. Absolutely. I know they've only won one game and had a draw, but he's doing the best with the cattle he's got. The Battle of the West, the Panthers, they pit the Eels. Really, a game of two halves. I know we spoke about it earlier, but I thought it was an exciting game from start to finish. The Eels, they came out on fire, blew Penrith off the park, led 14-0. And look, I thought, what the tackle that Peter Wallace made on, I think it was Clint Gutherson, with about 10 minutes to go, is one of the best try-saving tackles I've ever seen in a key moment. It probably went a little bit unnoticed, but it was one that, as a coach, I thought, well, I think if Parramatta score there, they win the game. I know that, you know, Josh Mansell was obviously outstanding, and Bryce Cartwright pulled off a couple of plays towards the end there, you know, to produce some tries. But for me, that was a match winner for Penrith, the Peter Wallace tackle. If you didn't see it, go back and have a look. I think it was about the 69th minute, 70th minute. But for me, Clint Gutherson, as you said earlier, take him out. And, you know, he's an unknown in that position. I heard him interviewed after the game. He said, I haven't played 5-8 since under 13s. And I think he was taking the piss when he said that. So, look, it just shows that
you... Yeah, Parramatta have been one of them stories of the year. You know, off the field, they're a basket case. And on the field, they've been one of the overachievers, you've got to say. I was a little bit worried, 14-0, but I knew Penrith would come home because they couldn't really play much worse than they were playing. They were dropping some, you know, pretty easy ball and I think Jennings being taken off the field was pivotal to Parramatta.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
He was on the field in the second half. They would have been a lot more damaging. He was starting to look like he was ready. I mean, he won the game for us in Origin 3 with that great try. And I could see him bringing that form back to this game. So Penrith might be just lucky that Jennings wasn't introduced. But
it was also on top of that,
Penrith had to win that game. They didn't have to win it. 22-18, good crowd at Pepper Stadium. And keeps Penrith right in the hunt on that 20 mark with this differential of 32.
For me, the one out of that, like you talk about Jennings going off, it was also the defensive adjustment that had to be made in that Scott, basically back rowers defending in the centres, and that's where Penrith went, you know, like in...
Well, it's right to Paul Boat Scott, and then Mayall stayed in that side, but didn't go down that side again.
Jesus, say that 10 times fast, eh?
Mayall. Double M.
Yeah, look, the double M. The last game of the round, last night's game, I thought it was okay. The Sharks, they pipped the Roosters, got home in the end, scrappy game. Look, but I thought the conditions weren't conducive, but I thought both teams played a real open style. And the Sharks, they rolled on. I thought the Roosters really went after them. They gave them their best punch, and the Sharks wobbled at different stages, but they managed to stay on their feet and, you know, get the job done in the end, 14 in a row.
Yeah, that Rooster side last night, that side's on the paddock from game one. They're sitting in the eight. But they've had so much disruption and so much go against them this year. It's hard to believe they're coming second last in the competition. Because they try their guts out, and they've got a good coach. I believe Robinson's a good coach. But the Sharks last night, they just showed that they are really a premiership contender. 14 games in a row in the hardest competition in the world in rugby league is nothing to be sneezed at, and they did it without Fifita, who's their main go forward. Blokes like Heinington and Pryor are stepping up to the plate and Tagatese.
They've got great depth in the forwards, aren't they?
They're probably my favourite team to watch in the comp. I love the ball when it goes to Valentine Holmes and Barber and Fecky and Jack Bird and even young the young halfback.
Townsend
at the moment. He's playing career best form, you know, him and Maloney. He threw a dab in last night
after he scored. Did you see that? The old dab?
Yeah, what was that? I'm a bit old for that.
Bit of the Cam Newton action, that one. So, bit of a dab.
Cam Newton.
Yeah, he's bringing it out, Gutho. He's a bit of a layer, I think, so.
Yeah, I like it. We need more layers in the competition, mate.
Love it. You can layer when you score tries. I don't mind that. So.
bring back the post-try celebration.
Oh, the grenade. Jesus, they're still replaying it. Dust off the videotape every year. All right, mate, we'll wrap it up. Look, you've got a couple of things to plug. You got the NRL rookie on the moment that's going okay.
Yeah, Tuesday night. It's on at 7:30. You've got six to go. Tonight's episode, if you're listening to us on Tuesday, it's tonight. If you're not, it's last night. One bloke sensationally is cut from the show for breaking curfew. And he just goes to show that it doesn't matter if you're in a reality TV show, that there are rules to abide as a rugby league player. And one of the blokes who were fancy to win the whole thing is he's let go tonight, and he goes home and It's a bit of a shock to the system.
Okay, because I've got someone who I reckon is black caviar to win it, but I won't. You know, put the pressure on you. Look, the grill team, you guys have been back now for a week and a half. Had a listen this morning. Things going well there as well. Ratings are up. Everything's going good.
Having fun, mate. That's the main thing. You know, it's one of the things that if you don't have fun, it's no point doing it. We get up at, you know, especially me living out west.
Yeah.
Up at 3:30 in the morning and made a trek into Sydney. And but, you know, this is we're almost at 7 years, and it's something you couldn't last that long if you weren't enjoying it, having a bit of chemistry.
Yeah, and getting along. Absolutely.
Yeah, just quickly to the bloke, this Friday, the MG Cup Grand Finals are on at Pepper Stadium. If anyone's listening to this in the surrounding areas, in the Peen areas, and you want to come and see three good games of footy, there's the under-14s, under-16s, the Opens Grand Final on Friday at Pepper Stadium with lots of good... prizes for the best players and the most conscientious players in each competition. So
beautiful. How long has that been going for now? 3 years? 4 years?
This is the fourth year.
Yeah, good initiative. And I know a few of the Chifley campuses, obviously the junior campuses where I teach, they're a part of the MG Cup. It's doing great things out here in the West. And Wild Panther Fitness, mate, that's going all right. The new venture,
Scotty Lewis is kicking butt, so if you want to get fit and you want some apparel, go to wildpantherfitness.com.au for all your needs.
And follow him on Instagram.
My plugs for the week.
That's all right, mate. We've got to get him in. You're doing the right thing by us.
What about your brother? Is your brother okay? I know I saw a picture of him on social media last night drinking jug after jug.
Is he okay? In what regard? You know, this you know,
I'm worried about the gap. I'm worried about he was training with us for a long time. He lost 20 kilos before he left to go over there.
He did.
Will he put it back on?
I hope not. I think he'll probably put on 5 or 6. You know, obviously over there he's drinking. All he's doing is drinking lager and eating food. So he'll probably put on 5 or 6. But I'll give him a kick up the arse when he gets back, and he can make sure he keeps up his training. So that's actually where I've just come from. I punched in a 5K, but between getting home from school and giving you a buzz. So the city to surf isn't far away. It's only 3.5 weeks away. So,
beautiful. You go, you good thing.
14 Ks, I tell you, at our weight, it kills you. Gee, I don't know why I do it. But, raising a bit of money for Beyond Blue, and it keeps me fit, mate. It keeps the weight off. So you got to do something,
mate. Beyond Blue, sensational charity, and good on you, mate. You put your hand up for it, and others don't. You've got to be applauded for that.
Done. All right, mate. Thanks for your time. We'll try and get you on a couple of times before Louis gets back. We might even retire him from the show.
Yeah. See you, Louis.
Cheers, brother. A big thanks to Mark MG Geyer, a good friend of ours and a good friend of the show. If you want to catch him, 6 to 9 weekdays on Triple M 104.9 on the grill team. You can also catch him on The Rookie, which is on Tuesday nights, 9:30 on Go. And if you want to have a look at that business he mentioned, Wild Panther Fitness, jump on, have a look, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or at www.wildpantherfitness.com.au. And before we get on to Mr. Gossip, we'll have a bit of a chat about the Kaizen Sports Performance, the Rugby League Academy that wrapped up last night down there at Pepper Stadium. Kaizen Sports Performance is devoted towards bridging the gap between amateur and elite sport. We are on a mission to provide all athletes the opportunity to experience high performance training, resources and support that only elite athletes receive. Our business services include performance academies, functional movement screenings, team building and leadership workshops and pre-season camps. The Kaizen Rugby League Academy is coming soon in the summer. So check them out on Facebook at Kaizen Sports Performance to keep up to date with all activity. The other one is obviously Rugby League Coaching Manuals. The last article I wrote for them was in the June edition. It was on how we coach halves and looking at the ways that they're developed and, you know, the half shortage that we're experiencing, especially in New South Wales. When you look at the Origin team, we're really, really struggling for quality halves. Queensland at the moment have obviously got a bag of riches there, but just address that, have a read of it, let me know what you think. But as a rugby league coach, you have many different jobs. Some include being a mentor, a teacher, a leader, a counsellor, and a drill sergeant. One of the most important roles as a coach is getting the best out of your players. If you are there to get the best out of your players, who is there to get the best out of you as a coach? It's RLCM. They've been providing coaching educational material to coaches since 1993 through their flagship publication, Coach Talk, DVDs and drill books. All this material is now available online through your very own RLCM membership, which gives you access to hundreds of articles and videos on coaching rugby league. In addition to this, you will also receive access to online courses, an invitation to the monthly coaching webinar, plus a new edition of Coach Talk every month. To start your 30-day free trial, just visit rlcm.com.au today and join as a foundation member. All right, we'll jump in now, guys, to Mr. Gossip. I'm sure he's got plenty to tell us, and we'll have a few laughs along the way.
It's time for your weekly dose of goss from Mr. Gossip.
All right, and we welcome back Mr. Gossip for round 20. I can't believe we've gone through 20 rounds of footy, mate.
That's gone very, very quickly, but hey, full round of football's back. Happy days.
Absolutely. Loving that. Loving that. What do you got for us this week, my man?
Yeah, not a whole lot on, and usually, the as always, the gossip's around Parramatta. We'll start quickly with Corey Norman. You and I, we mentioned Corey Norman last week and all his off-field discretions, but the Dragons have tabled an offer around 800K for him a season. We did mention that last week. That offer's still there. Will be interesting to see if Jared Hayne is going to play for Parramatta next year, because it looks like he will, whether Parramatta will still have an offer for Corey, but it'd be very interesting to see what happens with him.
He's going to have to take unders to stay at par, isn't he? You know, if they're going to get Hayne there, obviously there's not going to be much. There'll be the crumbs at the bottom of the box left for him. So, yeah, as we said last week, just really poor timing for Corey Norman. So,
disappointing.
Yeah. But you know, you got to stand by your actions. You want to, you know, act like a moron, then this is what happens.
Absolutely. And my mail is that Hayne will be at Parramatta next year. In fact, his manager's even looking at the clubs over in England he can play for now, so he can get match fit. So, Hayne will be there next year, which is going to excite a lot of people. But personally, myself, I don't have a short memory. I can remember at Parramatta, and let's be honest, he won a couple of wooden spoons there, and he played probably 1 in 5 games that were terrific. So, it's not like he's going to turn them around. To be honest, they don't really need him that much. They're playing well this year.
No, that's right. And they've let Mick Gordon go, I think, to make room for Bevan French to play one. So, you know, they had obviously alternate plans there apart from Jared Hayne. So I think Parramatta's doing Jared a favour more than what Jared's doing Parramatta a favour, put it that way.
Yeah, well said. I tend to agree with that.
Mm. All right, mate.
All right. Yeah, still on the Eels. Brad Arthur. Now, the Warriors are very interested in him, but I can't see him leaving. I've copped a barrage of emails from Warriors fans, as I always do. They seem to must be big fans of the podcast. Mustn't be much going on in New Zealand, to be honest. saying that Brad Arthur will be there. I don't think he will be, but I can confirm there is interest.
Mm. Well, why wouldn't they be interested? I mean, they had a decent Absolutely. Crack at Craig Bellamy, obviously. Look, interest and getting him over the line, two different things, isn't it? So I'd be very, very surprised if he left Parramatta. But then again, you look at what he's been through. He's got every excuse to walk out the door. But, I mean, there's probably only one club that could give him more heart palpitations than what he's had this year, and that'd be the Warriors, I'd imagine.
Yeah, exactly. But look, if there's one coach, we just said off air a few minutes ago that he's probably in the top three coaches in the game, he could turn that club around pretty much like what Ivan Cleary did.
Absolutely. No doubt about that, that's for sure.
Yeah. All right, mate, I thought I had a scoop for us, but I think the club announced it a couple of hours ago. But look, the Bulldogs have signed Brinkner Lee from the Raiders. But I can confirm that the Bulldogs will lose one, and it looks like Curtis Rona will be gone.
Wow. So they're going to swap Lee for Rona.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think Rona will go to the Raiders, but I don't see the Bulldogs re-signing him.
Wow. Yeah, that surprises me. Brinko Lee, to me, just he's a bit of an enigma. He's hard to catch. He's got a lot of errors in him, and he sort of came onto the scene, banged onto the scene, really, and then he hasn't really fired a shot since. I mean, he has the odd game there where you think, okay, you know, he's going to develop along nicely, but let's face it, he's probably been in the on the NRL scene for at least the last 2 to 3 years and hasn't done a lot. So it'll be interesting to see whether Hasler can turn him around and turn him into a consistent first grader, because to me, Curtis Rohn has looked very, very good in the centres the last month. You know, I think that's been a masterstroke from Hasler, but now they're moving him on.
Yeah, it is an interesting one, but plenty of mail around Rainer on the outer. I'll try and find out what clubs are interested in him for next week's podcast.
Yeah.
Mate, I had a look at your Twitter feed during the Warriors game, and you commented on Lolahia. And look, you're not the only one that was bewildered by the decision to leave him on the bench until Golden Point. It looks like he could be on the outer of the Warriors. Plenty of clubs interested. I'm not too sure what's going on there at the Warriors, to be honest.
Yeah, mate, me and MG spoke about it earlier. I heard, I think it was Lara Pitt last night on Fox, said that his manager had 5 phone calls by the end of the game for clubs interested in his services, and why wouldn't they be? I mean, he's an outstanding footballer and young talent. I just scratched my head. I don't understand the move. McFadden really hasn't shed any light on it. You know, a lot of people are insinuating that there might be more going on off the field there, or there might be issues between Lolahia and McFadden. I don't know, but whether there's issues or not, you need to put your best side on the field and you need to make smart interchanges. And to me, you know, I'm not going to say it cost them the game. I think Jake Chaboyevich more took the game away from the Warriors, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see what the game would have been like if Lolahia started, because I thought the Warriors dominated possession, they dominated field position. It was just Manly's toughness that got them over the line in the end, I thought.
Yeah, I tend to agree. It's not just this weekend that his manager's been filling off. It's been for a couple of weeks now. This has been going on. So, having said that, this weekend might have been the final straw. But, wow, there's plenty of clubs out there, as Lara Pitt mentioned. I think she mentioned 5. But, yeah, I mean... Well, you look good, Titans.
I'd take him at the Titans. I said that to MG. And the other one, the other one would be the Knights. You know, the Knights are probably crying out for someone that can cover 1 outside backs and in the halves. You know, like, you'd be mad not to look at him if he's off the market and you've got a bit of money there.
Yeah. If I'm the Knights, I'd go after a good 9 at the moment.
But, yeah, good point. They've got a lot of wants, don't they, the Knights, and a lot of needs.
Yeah, absolutely. They were in talks with Miss Rain, as I call him. I don't think that would help them at all, to be honest. I'm not a big fan of Miss Rain, but we'll see.
Yeah, me either. I don't think he's... put it this way, he's not justifying the big money, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Not many dragons are, mind you. So.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's done it for this week, mate. Not a whole lot going on, but happy to report that we're going to fall around.
We do. I'm excited about that. Alrighty, we'll jump into the tips. I don't have the results from last week because I'm a little bit space cadet-y. My brother's the organised one, but anyway, we're gonna go. I do have the results. You I think you only got no. Lewis only got one wrong because he tipped the Panthers. So the only one he got wrong was the Warriors, and we both got 4. So I'll have to update that and I'll post it on the page or something. But
cool.
Thursday night, the round kicks off, 8 o'clock, Cowboys versus Dogs. To me, this looks like a little chip shot. I think the Cowboys will win. The Bulldogs, I think they're about to come back to the field for me.
Yeah, the Bulldogs, on their day, obviously, can beat anyone. I saw Matt Scott sort of give him a good rap in a presser early in the week. He's definitely looking forward to the contest. So it'll be good up front. I'll go with the Cowboys, but it'll be a beauty.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to give Louis the Cowboys as well. He doesn't have a say in that, so... Got to love it. He's not going to like it when I give him the Knights, so...
I love it.
Friday night, the Broncos, there against your mob, the Panthers, 8 o'clock kickoff. Look, for me, this one, I'm going to stick with Brisbane. Both these sides are a bit up and down like a fiddler's watch at the moment, but I'll stick with the Broncos at home.
Yeah, I'll go to the Broncos as well. Penrith very, very lucky to beat a Parramatta team, which, to be honest, was a New South Wales Cup team with the amount of players they had out. Penrith still really struggling in defence. They really got exposed that first 20, 30 minutes, and I think Broncos will teach him a lesson.
Yeah, I think you might be right. I'll give Louis the Broncos as well. Saturday afternoon, 3 o'clock, I think this one will be a good game as well. The Raiders, they take on the New Zealand Warriors. I'm going to stick with the Raiders at home. The Warriors, I think they're about to start their post-origin slide.
Yeah, it'd be nice if the Warriors could prove us wrong. A lot of people suggesting what you are, that, like you said, the origin is over now, so they'll start losing. I'll back the Raiders, but it'd be nice for the Warriors to start winning.
Yeah, well, it would be. If they could jag one or two in the next month and at least be in play at the end of the year, it'd be nice. Usually they fall away in this month and they don't have a chance in the back four rounds, but we'll see what happens. I'll give Louis the Raiders as well. He's got a love affair with them. So Saturday, 5:30, my Titans take on those Eels. Look, Corey Norman, to me, they can't play, can they? If he plays, I'd be very, very surprised. And not so much that if Parramatta name him, but if the NRL allows him to play, I'd be ultra surprised. And he's one of my best players in my fantasy side at the moment. I'm leading the comp, so I've got a bit of a dollar riding on him, but I just can't see it happening. And for that fact, I'll tip the Titans to win.
I think even if Corey Norman does play, which I don't think he should be allowed, even if he does play, I think the Titans win.
Yeah.
Titans just full of confidence at the moment. They're kicking well, they're chasing well, they're doing all the little 1%ers right, and I think they'll be too consistent for Parramatta.
Mm. What did you make of their performance on Friday night, the Titans? I thought they were really good.
I thought the Titans were fantastic. I thought Tyrone Roberts is, I won't say he's been buy of the year, but he came on a budget to the Titans. He's been fantastic. He kicked to the corner as well. Like I said, nothing flash.
No.
He just does the right things right. And for a half these days, halves seem to be all confidence players these days, but Tyrone Roberts, he always puts in 100%. Not the flashiest, but consistent.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I got that one wrong. I didn't want him at the Titans. I couldn't see it, but he's been outstanding. I'm smart enough to know when I'm wrong. He was, and for the dollar value, like you're talking about, I think we've had a win with, obviously getting Taylor and Roberts and not getting Cherry Evans. I mean, Cherry Evans had a good game on the weekend, but for the majority of the season, he's been pretty ordinary for mine.
Yeah, I think it's been a blessing that you guys didn't get DC. I've got a feeling that a lot of those younger Titans players may have taken a back seat and tried to let DC do all the work. But
but
this year, I think the coaches got into their ear saying, people have get this laugh, let's play together. And
they have.
They're just doing the small things right. They're competing, they're completing, and that's all you need. You don't need the flashiness.
No, absolutely. Look, Saturday, 7:30, the Storm, they take on the Roosters down at Amy Park. For me, I've got to stick with Melbourne, but I do feel like they're getting close to a loss, and I said it to you off air, I wouldn't be surprised if the Roosters can get this one. I thought the Roosters were really, really good last night. Their effort's been good, but I'm going to stick with the Storm.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with the Storm, but the Roosters were much, much better on Monday night. It's probably the best team they had put on the park all year. Moa impressed me a lot. I thought he probably had his best game for the Roosters all year. It'll be a tight one. I would say 1-12 for the Storm.
Yeah, I agree. Louis will obviously tip the Storm. Louis would have tipped the Titans as well. Sunday, 2 p.m, Shark Park, the Newcastle Knights, they roll into town. And I suggest they'll be rolling straight back out of town. Look, last time this was 60-odd points. I thought Newcastle's effort on the weekend was super. But, I mean, the Sharks are in good form. They're going to be wanting to continue this streak. I think they'll win. But I don't think it'll be by 60.
No, it won't be by 60. Like you said, the Knights played good against Melbourne, but they do a good thing, and then they just stuff it up the next play. They're just, a lot of young guys, I guess. But wouldn't it be funny if last knocked off first? I don't think it'd be the first time it's happened in rugby league, but you can't tip them. But it'll be close. Closer, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. Sunday afternoon, the Dragons, they take on the Tigers. 4 o'clock kickoff. That's the match of the day on Sunday. Jesus, we're scraping the barrel. Look, this is the toughest of the round for me to pick. I'm going to tip the Dragons, but with absolutely no confidence. It's two teams that I don't think are very good at footy. The Tigers, they've had the week off. I don't know how they'll handle that, but yeah, I'll flip a coin on this one. I'll go with the Dragons because they're at home.
Yeah, look, I'm going to go with the Tigers. The Dragons, for mine, have won a few games on their defence earlier in the year, but their defence has gone out the window. They can't attack, they can't defend. There's not much going for them at the moment. So,
no.
at least the Tigers can put on points.
Yeah.
And I think they'll do that.
I'll give the Tigers to Louis as well. And then Monday night we cap it off. South Sydney Rabbitohs take on the Manly Seagulls. Look, I was leaning towards tipping South Sydney in this one, but I'm going to tip Manly. They really impressed me on Saturday against the Warriors, and I think they've got a little bit more to play for. I think the Rabbitohs season is probably over, whereas Manly have got a little bit of a shining light or a little bit of a sniff there, so I'll go with the Seagulls.
Yeah, it took the words right out of my mouth. I think Manly got more to play for than South. If Manly lose this, then they're gone.
Yeah.
So it's a semi-final game, if you like, up against the Rabbitohs, and Manly didn't play too badly against the Warriors, but then again, you can never get a good mark on the Warriors, but good turnaround time too for Manly.
Yeah, exactly right, and that makes a big difference at this time of the year, particularly if they've got players coming back from Origin. Obviously, they didn't have a lot, but still, you know, it's better on the legs to have a few extra days. Mate, we're pretty all the same here. We've got all the same apart from I've taken the Dragons, and yeah, you boys you're on the Tigers. So we'll see what plays out. But apart from that, mate, we'll catch you next week. Thanks a lot for coming on again. We're riding solo without the big man. So, as you said off air, we've been following him around in Europe. He's drinking a lot of beer and eating a lot of food by the looks of it.
Oh, absolutely. He went to some place, I can't remember where it was, where you pour your own beers. I tell you what, he's living the dream.
Yeah, I thought that was the Kingswood pub across from Kingswood Station. I thought that was the only place you're allowed to do that, but, you know.
Oh, mate, that'd be tough. It's a lucky bug. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, geez. All right, mate, we'll catch you next week. Have a good week, and hopefully the Panthers can get a win for you on Friday night.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be cheering for him, brother.
Good on you, mate.
See you, mate.
See you, buddy.
Bring it on. Give us more. Where are you going? What's going on here? Is that it?
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.